radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the second hour of the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
3 o'clock hour, and we're going to have some fun during this hour. Now, it may end up being absolutely disgraceful, as it was the last time that I filled in for Blair Durham, but nonetheless, that's going to happen, and Jay, you're going to want to monitor and take notes on these picks, and
I got my pen and pencil ready.
Yeah, perhaps throw them back in my face next week. But before I go through those, the first thing I want to do, there are four or five things I want to yap about that are on my mind, and then I'm going to ask for those of you out there to jump on the phone lines with maybe some reaction to what I've put out there or whatever it is you might want to get into at 844-5600. I want this to be a lively hour. We've got four lines that are available, and if you get in, the quicker you get in, the quicker we'll get to you. 844-5600 is that number. The first thing I want to talk about is the Predators. I've come into this season, for me, a season ticket holder, pretty uncertain. I didn't like the way last year ended. I didn't like the fact that at times I felt like the crowd was more into it than the players. And there were too many times last year where I walked out saying something's not right. Well, here are a couple of things that are right. The early returns, and admittedly it's only off of four home games, are that Matt Duchene is helping this team huge. You can just see it in the way this team is playing when he's out there. It appears that he is a huge addition to this team. And what also seems to be happening is that the crowd is really feeding off it. I tweeted this out here earlier today, and I'll kind of read you what I put out there. Not that it's any great literary work. Last night may be the loudest crowd during the regular season the Preds have ever had. It was absolutely raucous last night. I mean, approaching playoff loud with the comeback in the third period. And so I'll admit, over this four-game homestand where they've gone 3-1, I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. I am much more optimistic about where the Predators are going than I was, say, when they started training camp in September. Now, the same cannot be said for me right now with the Titans. I don't get what's going on. Number one, I don't get the feeling there's a ton of interest out there. Right now, the only time they really draw well at home is when the other team brings a bunch of folks. And they have tried to bury their head in the sand, but this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And frankly, some of this is on them. I watch the NFL just like most of you do, and a lot of these teams are really fun. The 49ers, Monday night, they were really fun. You never knew what was coming next out of Kyle Shanahan's offense. The Titans, they are deathly dull. Or as a friend of mine said it recently, the Titans' offense is where fun goes to die. There's nothing there. There's no creativity. Marcus Mariota looks like a robot. It looks to me, I don't have any evidence of this, but it looks to me like they have so drummed into his head, don't take any chances, don't run, don't do this, don't do that. At times he's like a zombie. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is not the same guy that came out of Oregon. Yes, he's been hurt some, and you have to be a little more sensitive to that. Not that he necessarily is. I've seen him, I think, stupidly play kamikaze pilot a couple of times this year in situations where I didn't think it was necessary.
Kind of like the two-point conversion that he did in the preseason.
Yeah. Bottom line to the thing is, they're dull, and at times they feel very lifeless, and I think it reflects in what's going on with them at the turnstile. Now to Vandy. Malcolm Turner will be in our studio next Tuesday during the 2 o'clock hour, and I hope that a lot of you will try to make a special note to be with us or to listen afterwards on SoundCloud. There are a lot of things that he is having to deal with. When he first got here, he ended up with a basketball program that I don't think he saw coming, and the result was Bryce Drew ended up losing his job. I don't know that that's going to happen here with Derek Mason. One reason being that I'm not sure that they've got the money as an athletic department to fire a second coach in the same year. And that may be the best thing Derek Mason has got going. As I look, it seems to me their talent level, in particular on defense, has really dropped. They can't stop anybody. And you say, well, he's a defensive guru. Well, show it to me. I don't see it. I worry that the only thing that's going to work out well is probably tomorrow against UNLV and then against East Tennessee State. But I can't honestly sit here and tell you that I believe they're going to win an SEC game. I just don't see it. Now on to Tennessee. I thought for about 27 minutes last week that was the best football that a Jeremy Pruitt team has played all season. And yet I fault him and their coaching staff for some really bad clock management in the last 3 minutes of the first half. At worst, they should have gone in down no more than 19-14. And yet when they hit the locker room, it was 26-14, and their players knew it was over. And the problem is when you have very little margin for error, you better be really good at clock management. And I thought Jeremy Pruitt flunked clock management last week. Now they got Mississippi State. They've got a quarterback that looks better, or at least he did a week ago, than Jared Garantano. Does this carry over this week? I think there's a chance it does. And, you know, this is a game where we're going to see, okay, are some building blocks being established at Tennessee? Or was last Saturday, first half, simply a moment in the sun? I think that's how important tomorrow is for them when they play Mississippi State. And then on to my beloved Braves. Losing sucks. It really does. And I'm like most of you when you really want to see your team do well and it comes up short. I'll probably 10 years from now, not understand what happened on Wednesday. You know, going in, I could see a scenario where they'd get beat. Flaherty's a damn good pitcher, and he might be right now the best in the National League. At least he has been since the All-Star break. The bottom line is I never dreamed it would be 13-1. And so now you say, well, okay, George, you have put out a line for a while that this team's going to win a world title in the next 2 to 4 years. Do you still feel that way? And the answer, perhaps stupidly, is yes. I still believe that. Now, I believe there's a little bit more that they've got to get through to do it than there was going into Wednesday. I do believe that there will now be some mental baggage the next time they get in a playoff series, which hopefully will be a year from now in early October against somebody. When they do, they're going to get a lot more questions about their recent playoff history. And Brian Snitker is going to get a little bit more scrutiny about who he pitches in game one, you know, because I think we all now believe Soroka and not Fulte probably should have been the game five starter. But they eliminated that possibility when Soroka was the game three starter. Anyway, I still believe that they're going to get great things done. I think they've got an incredible nucleus, but this is a really important offseason, and they have got to make 2 or 3 really good moves, probably at catcher, maybe in right field, definitely a pitcher, whether it's starter or reliever or both, before my little next 2 to 4 years thing can come to fruition.
I think re-signing Donaldson will be a big deal too.
Yeah. But I also think reestablishing Austin Riley is huge.
Yes.
Because here's what happened. He goes through about a 3-week stretch where he just single-handedly lifted them out of a tight pennant race into a position where they clearly were the cat daddy in the National League East. Well, then it was almost like they contacted Emory Air Freight and sent all the pitchers in the league the book on how to pitch him. And suddenly, he became a strikeout machine. Well, he's not the first player that's ever had that happen. Listen, there are any number of players who the book has gotten out on, and then the hitter has to make an adjustment off the adjustment the pitchers have made. So the question is, can Austin Riley do that? Because if he can, then you put Donaldson at third and you put him out in left, and you got a pretty darn good everyday lineup. But if you'll notice, he was not even on their playoff roster. And that's unfortunate, because when they were at their best back in early summer, it was when he was killing it. Okay, those are my little rants, 5 of them. Preds, Titans, Vandy, Tennessee, Braves. We covered a lot of territory in about 15 minutes. Now, I want to hear from some of you all. I want you to hit the phones as we go to this break. If you want to react to anything I put out there, feel free to. If you've got something on your mind that's important to you, I want to hear that as well. But I want phone calls. Need them, by the way. I'm sitting in here solo. 844-5600 is the number. We will take more of your phone calls. When we come back, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Want to say a hello to my buddy James Warren. He was a classmate of mine, 1977 at BGA. He's also the owner of Sir Speedy of Berry Hill, and James joins us. James, what do you want people to know about your business?
Well, here's the thing. If you look anywhere, you can see signage. A business without signage is like a car with a flat tire. It's not going anywhere fast. Sir Speedy Berry Hill can change that. We are a trusted resource for sign design and production. Whether you need trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, window decals, wall graphics, you name it, Sir Speedy Berry Hill's sign capabilities can help your business get noticed.
Okay, tell them where you're located, all the particulars.
So, we're at 2400 Phelps Avenue off of Melrose in lovely Nashville, Tennessee. Our phone number is 615-832-9511. You can look at us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Email us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. We've got you.
Inner Zen Outer Beauty, located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our rooftop pool and bar.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Truck Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
.321 here on the George Plaster Show. Jay, before we go to the phones, did I put everybody to sleep with that little soliloquy?
What?
Wow, that's nice.
Watson and Terry are kind of rubbing off on me a little bit here.
You think so?
I think so.
That's bad.
That is bad.
Did you agree with anything you heard?
I did. I mean, I think the Preds are looking a lot better than what a lot of people thought they were going to be. I mean, 3-1, you can't ask for much better. And last night, scoring 6 points. Or 6 goals, and I mean, 2 of them on a power play. I mean, come on. You never saw that last year. How many times did they score on a power play? And of course, you know, with you talking about, you know, the Titans, you know, more than likely they'll win this weekend and then come back and have everybody patting them on the back saying how good they are in the next week and get beat again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a pattern that's been a problem. Anyway, what was your biggest disagreement with what I put out there?
Biggest disagreement.
Yeah.
I think for the Braves, the biggest thing for them is pitching. Not necessarily position players. They've got the bats. They got a ton of talent. But they need – I felt like they really should have went with Soroka.
In game one.
In game one.
Yeah.
Fulte third, and then Soroka again. Other than that – that was the only thing. But the thing is, though, George, and I meant to say this, that should have never came to Game 5. They were 4 outs away.
But they don't have the lights-out closer
that, is true.
That you know gets them those outs the way Craig Kimbrell used to
right. In
the early 2010s. Anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, Eric in Nashville is the only person I didn't put to sleep. 844-5600 is our number. I want to see some phone lines light up. I want to talk a little sports with you all. I know you're out there, so call me. Let's talk. Eric, let's talk.
Yes, George, let's talk.
Let's talk.
Yeah, George. I want to talk about the Vols and the Titans, George. First of all, about the Vols. I can't take credit for this line, but this is a line I heard a while back that kind of describes the sad state of the Tennessee football program. The Volunteers are literally Vols in Tears.
Wow. You've been waiting a while to use that, haven't you?
Yes, I have, George. I know that's terrible. Anyway, but I agree with you what you said about Jerry Pruitt and his clock management last week. It's just hard to believe that they could do that. I do think they do have a shot against Mississippi State.
I do, too.
And most people I've heard are picking them to beat Mississippi State, but if they don't, it's just like you wonder, well, where are the wins going to come from? But they still have a shot to get some if they can play the quarterback that they've got in now for Gantano plays the way he did last week. It can keep that up. And just and defensively, if they could just do some things on that, it's just, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I think they've got a shot. And as far as the Titans, George.
Well, hold on that one, Eric. I think what ends up happening, you know, they play Alabama in a week.
Yeah.
Once they get past Alabama, if they're not so beat up or demoralized by that experience,
The
last four or five games on their schedule, they've got a halfway decent shot at for the most part. And that's where they've got to build the momentum.
Yeah, I don't remember all the games. I know they got South Carolina and Vandy and Kentucky. And I think it's – don't they play Missouri? And I know they played one out of conference game, but I can't remember who that was.
Hold on a second. I'm going to get it for you here in a second. Go ahead to the Titans.
Yeah, as far as the Titans go, George, it seems like every time they take one step forward, they take a step or two steps back. And this is a game, you don't want to say they have to win, but it's getting to the point, I know everybody sees it, well, it's a long season, but it's getting to the point where you're running out of chances to say it's a long season. And if you're really going to do anything, you've got to put some wins together. And it's just so frustrating, George, because this is a team, to me, that I said, I think they should be 4-1. They should have won both home games, but of course they didn't. And you wonder if Ryan Succop was the kicker instead of the guy that we had if we would have won both of those games. And this is the difference between good, great, and bad teams. Because Buffalo, whether you like it or not, they at least have closed the deal. They're 4-1. But with the exception, I think, of the game against the Giants where they beat them by 2 touchdowns. They beat the Jets by 1. They beat Cincinnati by 4 points. They lost to, I think it was New England by 6, and they beat us by 7. Every other game has been single digits within a touchdown or less. And that's usually the teams that have a shot at playoffs. They win those tough games, close games. And Buffalo, they've got a shot. I mean, they still have to play Miami twice and the Jets twice. So they could possibly be a wild card and get to 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah, Buffalo looks to me like they've got a shot to be double digit in wins. And if the young guy, Josh Allen, continues to develop, they're going to be a pain in the butt to play.
No, you're right. I mean, because I unfortunately don't think the Patriots, who was an interesting game against the Giants last night. And if you look at their schedule, they should win the next 2 weeks. They play at the Jets on Monday night, and then they play Cleveland. But then after that, they've got a shot at a loss because I think they play at Baltimore, and then they play at Philadelphia in the rematch of the Super Bowl 3 years ago. And I know they've got the Cowboys, the Texans, and the Chiefs on the schedule, so they're not going to go undefeated, but they're looking like right now they could wind up the top seed in AFC again.
The Titans are a little bit of a mystery to me, and I guess, you know, I would love to know whatever it is they are saying to Marcus Mariota behind closed doors. At times he looks like a zombie to me. He looks like a guy that's afraid to take any chances.
And if you look at them, George, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they've scored 76 points and they've given up 76 points, which means that's an average of about 15 points a game, if I'm not mistaken. They've had two games where they've only scored 7 points. They've only had one turnover, but they're 2-3. He hasn't thrown any picks. I think they've had one fumble. And it's a shame that they not turn the ball over, but unfortunately you feel like there's a game coming up where they're going to have a bunch of turnovers because that's in their history where they've had a lot of turnovers. So they're on the plus side, but they're 2-3.
It's I don't know. I know this. They're the ones that put out the slogan "good to great."
Yeah.
I never bought it. When I looked at the offensive skill people, I just don't see it. I see a really good running back. Yeah. I see a really good tight end, and I see a rookie out of Ole Miss that I think is going to get there.
Yeah.
The rest of it.
Yeah.
I don't trust.
Yeah. I tell you, also, Mike Vrabel, he's an enigma. Just try to figure out, you think he's going for a fourth down and keeps the field goal. Then you think he's going to keep the field goal, he'll go for it. It's just, and I understand that to a point, but there are times when he needs to kick the field goal and he doesn't. The other time, you should go for it, and he doesn't. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens. Good talk to you, George. Take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
Eric, thank you.
And have a good weekend.
You too. Okay, 844-5600 is our number. You call now on whatever it is you want to get into. We will get to you quicker than you can say, welcome to the show. Here's the thing that, to me, on the Titans, kind of stinks. They're wasting some really good defense. To me, the most valuable player in this deal is Dean Pease. Yep. The defensive coordinator, man, what he has done to get their defense to the level it's playing at is really good. But I buy into the thing that you cannot continue to play games where you get, you know, you put 10 points on the board and you basically look at your defense and say, okay, we've gotten you our 10 points, now go win it. It's the NFL. There are a lot of good offenses out there, and ours is not one of them.
No.
Other than when we play Atlanta. But
our first half.
Yeah. But the bottom line is I don't know. To me, they have got to have a mindset change on offense. I'm not saying that they become the New Orleans Saints, because Mariota isn't Drew Brees, but it's got to be better than this.
They need to go to that 2-minute drill, because it seems like that's where Mariota's the best at.
Well, it does seem that way, and yet, you know, you get both sides of that. It's how much do you want your defense out on the field? That becomes an issue of how much do you want them out there. But they clearly are better when he's up tempo. That appears to be his strength. But I don't know. There are times where I sit there and watch them, and I ask myself, have they brainwashed him? Because I do not see the quarterback that came out of Oregon.
I really think his mindset has changed ever since that Christmas Eve, Christmas Day night in Jacksonville when he broke his leg. It seems like he hasn't been the same in the pocket. He's panicking more. He's, you know, he'll go for runs here and there. Don't get me wrong. He did in seventh the year after he got his injury and all that. But this year, I think he knows that his O-line is not as good as they have been. And he's just like, if his first read's not there, he goes into complete panic mode.
Well, he goes into freeze. See, you know, whether this is fair or not, Ben Roethlisberger, go back, John Elway, one of the great attributes both of those guys had was to be able to improvise. When a play breaks down, they start scrambling around and doing their thing, and at times, good stuff would come out of it. And I believed when he came out of Oregon that Mariota had some of that. Number one, he's fast.
Oh, yes.
He has great speed. But I look at him now, and I don't see a guy that ever gets out of the pocket and extends a play. I just don't see it. I don't know if that's receivers that don't come back to the ball, that don't understand that, hey, you may have to break off an original route to go do something else. I just do not see the kind of things that a quarterback that has his wheels ought to be able to do when a play breaks down. It's just, I don't know. It's a real mystery to me, and it's part of the reason that I'm kind of throwing up my hands and going, you know what? I don't know if it's going to work here. And yet it also would not shock me if at the end of the year and Mariota leaves here, let's say they make the decision to part ways, is there a scenario where he goes somewhere else with better offensive numbers, better offensive skills, whatever the case, and they start to get it going? Anyway, let me pick up line one real quickly and just ask the question to line one. If you will, tell me who you are and let's talk.
Hello?
Hey, go ahead. Who is this?
Oh, this is Kevin. I'm sorry.
Hey, Kevin.
George, yeah. To me, Marcus, like the other guy said, the two-minute drill, the hurry drill, I think he does better when he doesn't have to think. And I think he also does better when he rolls out because he knows what he's going to be doing. But when he drops back and people are coming at him, I think he loses contact with his receivers. I don't know. Something's not there. And, golly, I like the guy, but, you know, liking a guy and winning playoff games in a Super Bowl is two different things. I think he's gone.
Well, let me ask you this question. I guess he's gone. If we went back to, let's say, his rookie year and his second year, does he look like the same guy? No. And I'll tell you where I'm going with that, because I now see what Watson Brown referred to as 1-2 freeze. I don't remember the freeze in the early going.
No.
Their offensive line obviously is having big trouble, but this freeze is making them look bad as well. And somebody has to acknowledge that it is not all offensive line. They've been bad, but his now going into this freeze is also making them look bad. Husker Richie. Husker as in Nebraska Cornhuskers?
That's right, George.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I just want to throw this in real quick. If you're going to play the part of Blair Durham today, go ahead and take the Minnesota Gophers to win comfortably over my Huskers. I'll just give you that one right now.
Okay, what if I told you it was not on the list?
Well, it should be, George. It's a
Think
winner.
So?
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay, hold on a second.
You got it.
Are you saying that the rose is off the bloom on Scott Frost?
No, I'm going to tell it like it is, George, for Jeremy Pruitt and Scott Frost. They're both in their second year, and if we do math, if we exclude junior college players, all the seniors and all the juniors at Nebraska and at Tennessee belong to the coach who got fired. And those two coaches, Pruitt and Frost, are coaching freshmen and sophomores. Well, let me tell you, George, you can't beat Ohio State with freshmen and sophomores. We tried 2 weeks ago. You can't do it. Half those teams are just terrible. Tennessee and Nebraska didn't have anybody drafted last year. And those juniors from last year are now seniors this year. They're not any better. So you're going to have to give Pruitt and Frost at least 4 years to get those crummy players out of both programs, and then maybe you'll see something. I think Nebraska's future, the ceiling for them is to be a 9 or 10-win team someday, but I think the championships are over.
Let me ask you this. Because to my way of thinking, Frost as a head coach is considerably higher right now than Pruitt, just simply because he has the experience of having built a Central Florida that Pruitt does not have. Pruitt did not have to start at the Central Florida level to get to an SEC or a Big 12. So in my mind, Frost is clearly ahead. But what I think Frost is inflicted with right now is a quarterback that's just good enough to get you beat.
George, what Adrian Martin, and by the way, we don't have a good offensive line at all, but Adrian Martinez at the college level looks a lot like Marcus Mariota at the pro level to me, and I'm starting to doubt him. Now, if we had a better offensive line, I think he would be having a better year, but I agree with you. I don't trust him, and he's only got 2 years left after this. He's not the future at Nebraska. But it's going to take both those programs years, George. You can't go from where those programs were. When you're getting blown out on a regular basis,
yeah,
I don't care what your record is, and it's been happening to Nebraska and to Tennessee for about 15 years now. You get blown out two or three times a year, you need new players, George, and that's what they've got to get. George, I wanted to call in about Mariota.
Okay.
I just want to be blunt. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. He's better than a Tim Tebow because he's still in the league. He's better than Johnny Manziel. But he was a great athlete playing out at Oregon in that great Chip Kelly system, playing against Pac-12 defenses. You saw him against Ohio State in the championship game. He came back down to earth in that game in college. He's not a starting pro quarterback, in my opinion. There's a lot of throws he can't make. Now he's lost his confidence, and he really looks worse than ever. But I just don't think he's a starter, George, and I think he'll be either a backup or out of the league in two or three years.
Hold with me on one particular point that you brought up. I am in agreement with you that there are certain throws that he can't make.
Right.
For the most part, I don't think he's very good throwing outside the numbers, the sideline route. I'm not real certain that he's a very good deep ball thrower because right. they virtually don't go deep at all. I think they're a very easy team to defend. Unless Derrick Henry goes wild, I think they're incredibly easy to defend.
George, it would be so incredible, and I'd pay $20 to see this if it was possible, to see Marcus Mariota quarterback the Chiefs. Now, would he look better? Yes. But can he hit those guys the way Mahomes does or the way a Drew Brees or a Brady hits his receiver? No way. He can't do it. There's just too many throws that he can't make, and I wish him well, but the end of his career in Tennessee is much closer than the beginning.
Thanks. Appreciate your call.
See you.
3:40 is the time. Let me get one more call in. Clay on line one, welcome.
George, we're going to kind of go in a different direction.
Okay, let's do it.
A little BGA connection here since we're both former BGA Wildcats.
We both have diplomas to prove it, although barely.
I'm sure you remember my brother. I believe he was a class behind you, but he went to Wake Forest, and I wanted to talk about the Deacons a little bit. It's unbelievable to me. They're 5-0. And
I know.
He's pretty excited about it. Over the years, he's been on the board. I don't know if he still is, but he actually went to the North Carolina game, and that brings me to Dave Clawson, who's obviously doing an unbelievable job there. And if, because what a huge Derek Mason fan I am, would Dave Clawson be a name you would think about possibly if Vanderbilt was to look for a new football coach? A, and B, would he consider moving from the ACC to the SEC?
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. Why would he want what is really a lateral move other than maybe a little conference upgrade, but that makes the job even harder? Why would he want that?
Yeah,
if you said Tennessee's open, Clawson's an obvious candidate.
Correct.
But I think on the Vandy thing, if you get to that, and by the way, I don't think it's going to get to that. And I think the biggest reason is because I don't think they have the money. I don't think the athletic department can afford to pay out another coach and staff after having done that with Bryce Drew.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you said this yesterday when y'all were discussing this situation. I mean, or somebody did. Somebody on the panel did. I mean, it's like, who do you go get if Derek Mason isn't the coach? Who would want the job? They certainly would want to know that Malcolm Turner, the board, whoever, John Ingram, is making the commitment to do something about the stadium.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, there are any number of up-and-coming assistant coaches who would throw their name in the hat because it's a Southeastern Conference school, and most of them are young and confident, and they believe if James Franklin can do it, I can do it. And let's face it, James Franklin parlayed his success here into a hell of a job. I mean, he's now got one of the 10 best coaching jobs in the country, great facility, a lot of things, so that if somebody has the confidence that they know how to win here, they can parlay it. So I don't worry about whether they would have good candidates. First of all this is premature, but I don't see this team doing a lot of winning.
Yeah. It's all a matter of you would think they would win tomorrow. You would think they would beat East Tennessee State. You know, the whole thing is are they ever, you know, going to win a conference game this year? And that would be almost like a future trivia question. Has it ever happened in the history of this state rivalry where Vanderbilt and Tennessee, if neither one of them have won a conference game, have they ever played each other playing for the first win?
Ooh.
Ever.
If somebody has the answer, let us know. Clay, thanks for the call.
See you guys.
Okay. We're going to ride down the Hindenburg when we come back. I'm going to give you some picks. I'm not saying they're worth much, but they are mine, and I'll stand behind them. Last time, it was a disgrace.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
And now the fine folks at Dumford Irrigation would like to remind all Americans to show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to locate a military care package and learn how you can help a hero today. This salute is brought to you by Dumford Irrigation. For the finest quality in irrigation, lighting fixtures, and equipment, call Dumford Irrigation at 615-218-3058. That's 615-218-3058. Dumford Irrigation, they're people who care.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's SoulStreetCoffee.com.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For today, mostly cloudy with a high 82. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy, rainy with a low 45. And for Saturday, it's going to clear up and be sunny with a high of 62. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
By the way, as for that weather, oh, it's within probably 15 minutes of wherever you may be listening. That big front is almost at Bellevue. We were looking, no lightning detected within about 30 miles of any of this line. So that seems to mean that the high school games tonight are likely to go on as scheduled.
At least for this area for now.
Yeah. So, here we go on me playing Blair Durham. First game I'm going to go with tonight is Colorado State minus four at New Mexico. Colorado State's no world beater. But surely to goodness they're better than New Mexico.
You would think.
Who is god-awful. Okay, that's the first one. The second one, and I don't have a lot of confidence in this, but I'm going to go with Texas plus 10.5 in that game in Dallas against Oklahoma, just simply for the fact that in recent years, Oklahoma has shown no ability to stop Texas at all. And even in the title game a year ago when Oklahoma won, they absolutely had to, you know, fight for their lives. So I'm going to take Texas plus the 10.5. I'm going to take Temple plus 4.5 at home against Memphis because Temple has been really good at home.
Yeah.
I don't know why necessarily, but I'm going to go with Temple, and we'll see how that one works. I think I'm going to make a late change and eliminate one of the games. So here's what I'm going to go with. I've given you so far Colorado State minus four, Texas plus 10.5, Temple plus whatever it is, 4.5.
4.5. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tennessee plus 7 tomorrow at home against Mississippi State. I don't think State is any world beater.
No.
They're better than Tennessee, but are they a touchdown better?
No.
I don't know. This is a big game for Tennessee. This is where they really need to shine. BYU tomorrow will start the first black quarterback in the history of their program. And they are a four-point favorite at South Florida, who is god-awful. South Florida may well get Charlie Strong fired. I'm taking BYU minus the four in that game. Here's one that you're saying, what in the world are you doing? I'm going to take Nevada at home minus 2.5 against San Jose State. San Jose State is no world beater. Not that Nevada is, but Nevada is better than San Jose State, and they're at home.
Well, San Jose State also beat Arkansas, but that's not saying anything.
Not as much as it used to. I'm going to take San Diego State at home minus 4 against Wyoming. I just think San Diego State's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I like
that
pick.
And I'm going to go with that one.
If it was in Wyoming, I'd be different. But since it's in San Diego, I like that pick.
And then I'm going to go with Florida plus 13.5 at LSU. I think Florida has the athletes to corral LSU. I'm not saying they win. I don't think they win in Baton Rouge.
It'll be closer than 13.
I think it'll be closer than that. So make sure you keep note of these. Colorado State. Texas, Temple, Tennessee, BYU, Nevada, San Diego State, and Florida. Now to the NFL. I'm picking four games on the card. There's an 8:30 in the morning game because it's in London or somewhere.
Yeah, London.
I'm going to take Tampa plus what looks like 2 or 2.5 against Carolina. I really think that Bruce Arians is a damn good offensive coach, and I think he's making a difference in Jameis Winston, who a year and a half ago looked dead even with Marcus Mariota, but today looks like a much better quarterback. Now, here's a real gut shot. I think San Fran put out a lot of emotional energy on Monday night, and now all of a sudden they've got to get back on a short week to go up against the Rams, who are ticked off and not very happy with the way they've been playing. I'm taking the Rams in a little bit of a do or die. This is a game they've got to win in their division. Rams minus 3 at home against San Fran. I'm taking New Orleans on the road plus 1 at Jacksonville. And I'm doing that basically on the belief that New Orleans' offense is better than Jacksonville's.
Yes.
And that Jacksonville will struggle to score points. And then I'm going to take Minnesota at home minus 3 against Philly. Kirk Cousins has been under more fire than any quarterback in the league. Surely to goodness, there's a pride factor that has him saying, I am going the way of a winner. Those are my four on the pro level. They are Tampa, the Rams, New Orleans, and Philly. We're back to wrap up this show when we come back.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
It's summer, y'all, and you know the drill. It's time to stay chill and get your fill of all the cool games that you'd like to see. The August Instant Ones from Tennessee. You could scratch a blackjack for just a dollar. Win 20 grand on a payday multiplier. Big Orange Eights could take your cash even higher, but not like a $1 million mega multiplier. That's no joke. These are the ones. The August Instant Games that are tons of fun. Brand new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just play responsibly.
Penn Station likes to mix it up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads, fresh cut fries, chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For October, try the Philly cheesesteak sub with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
There are three college football games on tonight if you decide that you're not going to dodge the raindrops. One of those is Virginia at Miami. I cannot figure Miami out under Manny Diaz. They have not been very good. Didn't Virginia Tech beat them last week? And
they
that's
did.
Not a very good Virginia Tech team.
No, Virginia Tech's been down for the last 4 years, and it's just – you know, that was just shot when Miami lost. I think it was 31-29.
Yeah. The Colorado State-New Mexico game is also at 7 o'clock Nashville time. Is that right, or it's 6 o'clock?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, you do that. I think it's at 7.
I believe you're right, though.
Anyway, then the late game.
7 o'clock Central, yes.
7 o'clock Central. The late game, which is 9 o'clock Nashville time, is Oregon at home against Colorado. And Colorado has been a little bit of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. That's a big line. It's like 22. I don't think Oregon covers that.
That's a little bit too big in my book. I was literally just looking at that thinking, why is it 22?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hate it when high school football gets damaged a little bit by weather, because all of these athletic departments on the high school level need good weather to get a good gait.
Right.
And number one, rain really hurts a gait, but it also hurts fields. These high school fields, for the most part, you know, most of them are not field turf. Most of them don't have the ability to then get fixed up a week later. If you do serious damage in the middle of a driving rainstorm, it sometimes ruins a field for a year, and I hate that.
Or longer, even.
Yeah.
Because some of these fields are out in a cow pasture.
So your Cardinals start tonight, and they've got a clear pitching advantage. Miles Michaelis against Anibal Sanchez. Because here's the thing with Sanchez.
You know him. He was with the Braves.
I know him well. And look, he pitched really good Sunday night. But here's the deal. He has to be perfect in his control, because he doesn't throw hard enough. He can't get a ball by anybody. And so Anibal Sanchez, he has got to be command-wise, dead letter perfect. All of you have a great weekend. Johnny Ballpark Franks is in the on-deck circle.